Well, we have certainly been blessed to have been in partnership with the Bixbys in their work in France for, I don't know, how long have we been partnering with you, Tim?
11 years.
Tim comes from a long line of missionaries. I actually was in school with his father, Bob Bixby, who also served in France. And some of his uncles and aunts and a lot of folks who have been involved in missions over the years. It's been a very wonderful family indeed. Ruth is from, Tim's from all over because of his missionary background. Ruth is from North Carolina. Her parents live in Wake Forest over on the other side of Raleigh. And so the Lord had brought them together, and they're producing beautiful children, aren't they? What a lovely family. But we want to hear from Tim Bixby and the ministry that God has given to him. So, Tim, if you would come now at this time and tell us what's going on in the Lord's work in France.
Well, good evening. And just say that we feel very honored and special that this would be your first time back in person, because of us, at least that's what we were told, and that makes us feel special. So we want to greet you in the name of the Lord, greet those that are watching as well, live. We want to as well thank you for your faithful partnership and your care for our family. And we have always been, as you no doubt, debtors to God's grace. And yet, it is a privilege to look back over time and see His care. And one thing that I rejoice in, almost every time I meet a brother, sister in Christ that I've not seen for a couple years, and that is in the keeping and preserving grace of God. The fact that we're still in the faith is not because of our wisdom or our strength, but Christ who lives in our hearts by faith, as Ephesians says, and God who is faithful to continue what He's begun in us. And so it's a celebration of God's faithfulness, just to be able to see people again after several years. It's been a little over 3 years since we've been back with you. And so I'd like to begin by just kind of reviewing a little bit of what God has done. Every ministry, every gospel ministry has more in common than it has differences. We have the same problem in the world and in human nature. And we have the same solution, and there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. Yet what makes stories interesting and worth telling, what makes your testimony worth sharing, and what makes it interesting to listen to other people's testimonies is the providential ways in which God works to bring us to Christ, or He works in our lives once we're in Christ. And so that's a little bit what we want to tell you, God's providence and His care in our lives. And I've arranged these pictures under three headings with three different Bible names. I can stand right here, or do I need to move out of the way? Am I good? Okay. Because Bible names often have quite a significance. So the first name I've chosen, and I can advance this. Oh, here, let me see if I got. There we go. Is Ebenezer. Actually, our mother church, we have two men who are named Ebenezer. I don't hear that very often here in the States. But a reminder that God has been faithful to us and led us up into this point. So we are the Bixby family. We're serving under EMU International out of Taylor's. I think you knew the Jensens. And you support some Jensens as well with that board. And in the country of France, you probably recognize the shape of France. Paris is right there in the center, north section of the city. And of course, this needs no introduction. You know what is the most recognized tourist attraction, I think, in the whole world. I think it was since we were here last. We'd already been living in our home a couple years, and it was a winter, and there were no leaves on the tree, and I realized that looking out our bedroom window, we can see the searchlight of the Eiffel Tower. So that gives you an idea about how far away we are. Up the hill, you can see both, up the hill behind our house, we can see both the Eiffel Tower, and we can see the Charles de Gaulle Airport. We can actually see the airplanes landing on the tarmac. But this is our little town with some fields all around it. We took this just last month, coming back from a meeting. And now a little update on our family. I love the name Emmanuel when I think of our family. When God came to earth, he began his life in a very small, insignificant, poor family. Joseph and Mary could say, God with us. And yet, when Jesus went back up to heaven, he said, and we just read it tonight, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so every family, no matter how small or poor or insignificant, we can have God in our midst through his Spirit. And we're thankful for God's grace in our family. God has gifted us with 5 children. They're all here tonight. Micaiah is our oldest. He's 17 years old. And he'll be going back in the fall and beginning his last year of high school. God willing, he'll probably stay on in France at least a couple more years to be able to get French nationality. And then we have Miriam, who's now 15, our only daughter. So we're grateful to have a feminine representative beyond just the mother in our home. And then we have what we used to call our little boys, and now they're called our middle boys. We have Zachary, who's 10, there in the back. And then Gabriel with the glasses, who is 8. And then you probably heard him just tonight. But God gave us this unexpected blessing in Simeon. And he turned 1 on April 9th of this year. So he's about 15 months old. And has really filled our home with a lot of joy. For every member of the family, all the children are related to see that God gave him to us. And we have we thank God regularly for him. And then to talk a little bit about the church, I thought of the name Peter. Peter is significant because Jesus chose it and changed his name. And if you had a lineup of men, and you said, okay, who could we use in this new Christian church? You probably would not have chosen Peter and the role he played. And yet, Jesus said, you're going to be Peter. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Of course, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But God used men like Peter, and that's still the way he works. That's an encouragement for me. He still picks the people we probably would overlook and uses them because Christ is still actively building his church today. Now, you know, so this is just a reminder that we actually began our work as a daughter church of the Baptist Church of Saint-Denis. Saint-Denis had a missionary pastor, but they're now nationally led by these 3 men. On your right is Albert. He is the lead pastor, preaching pastor. He's a Frenchman, teaches post-high school technology. He is from the Caribbeans. And then there in the center is Marcel. Marcel was born in Congo. He's now a French citizen, has worked for years for the Peugeot auto plant, which is a French car manufacturer. He doesn't even know his birthday. He knows he was born at harvest time. That's what his mother told him. And then on the right is Jean-Pierre. Jean-Pierre is from India and grew up in India. Now a Frenchman as well, but works for the Indian Embassy in Paris. And they serve as the elder board of the Mother Church. And they're also over our daughter church. So they're officially really part of the pastoral leadership. Even though they're not there, every Sunday. Although while I'm gone, they're taking turns filling the pulpit for me. So our pastoral leadership meetings are with them. It's those guys and with me. Each of us come from a different area of the world, and yet it's been beautiful to see the harmony and the fellowship that the Lord has given us through several years. I'm very grateful for these men and for their leadership, even with regard to our building. Talk about that in a little bit, but these men took really a leading role in praying with me and decided, okay, let's go forward in this direction. And it's been such a God gift, a gift from God for me to have other men that I can rely on that are right there, know the culture, know the work, and can lead and help advise me. And this is the name of our daughter church, our church we're planning. Literally, it's the Biblical Baptist Church. We wanted to use the term Bible in there to let people know that that's what we used, which tends to be a rare thing, to use the Bible. And then De Grand Roissy, if you've been to Paris, you probably landed at the Charles de Gaulle Airport, which is in Roissy. And so the Grand Roissy, or the Greater Roissy area, is all that area around the airport. And so that kind of locates us geographically. And then this is now where we're meeting. We don't own the dealership. We don't own the Ford dealership. But we own all that area, or we don't own it, we're renting presently, all that area that is above, and then those two floors there on the left. And this is where we've been now for about a year and a half. We were in a very cramped back room of a Pakistani restaurant, and we went to this. I mean, we just have more room here than we can use. And this has been, in part, thanks to your generosity as a church. You as a church have given towards this project. And so our people have told us, several, to make sure we thanked you for your generosity towards us. We are really so glad to be able to use it. Of course, we went several weeks without being able to use it due to the COVID, but now we're back in our building. It's a Bible club that we hosted. This was the first one we got to host in our premises. Last fall, we held what's called a Bible Expo, or a Bible Exposition. So there's a pastor south of Paris who has developed this up over 20, 30 years. A lot of old Bibles, different memorabilia, and then he has different posters explaining the history of the Bible and the message of the Bible, and a tract that goes along with it. In fact, Valentina, I'll talk about her in just a moment, it's the first time she came was to this, and they had a little stand there showing the tabernacle, and I was able to use the tabernacle and the sacrifices, the lamb, and to walk her through the gospel story, standing right there around that, near that center table. This is at our, I think this was at our inauguration service. Here's just some of the people in our church. I want to mention specifically just a few individuals that you could pray for. This is the Neves family. So Wilson, the father, was born to Portuguese immigrants in France. So he grew up in France. He's a Frenchman, but bilingual. He had been to Bible club several times when he was, I think, 10, 11 years old, run by the missionaries who founded the church in Saint-Denis, but then showed no more interest and just went his way. When he was in the army, the Spirit of God began convicting him, and he went through a period of time where he was even contemplating suicide. He came back and looked up that missionary, and the missionary gave him a Bible. And he went back to his barracks with the Bible, and the day he got back, he got sick, and the doctor said he had strep throat. He said he couldn't see anybody. He had to stay in his room for a whole week, and he just read the Bible all day long and came to Christ alone with the scriptures. And he said when he came to Christ, all those songs he had sung in Bible club came back to him, even the words. And so it's a neat testimony of what God can do, and sometimes delayed fruit, but that God brings to fruition. And then his wife, whose name is Kaina, she grew up in Algeria. She's actually part of the Berber people. So these are the original, supposedly, inhabitants of North Africa. She came to France in her young 20s to escape difficult family situation. Kind of came illegally. But once she came to France through a friend of her aunt's that she was staying with, came to know the Lord Jesus. And so now they're an integral part of our church, along with their two daughters, and we're grateful for them. And then the other couple that is taking leadership while we're gone is Maxime and Melody. Maxime, just a Frenchman, grew up in the countryside of France, kind of rebelled against his parents and what they wanted and just took off to see the world, went to Australia, hitchhiked across Australia, found a buddy there, and they became friends. And after leaving there, his buddy came to know the Lord and sent him a Bible and encouraged him to read it. And he, in the meantime, had made his way to England and London, where he met his wife, Melody. She's South African. And they got married. And through that friend, they ended up coming to know the Lord. When they were first converted, they started going to a charismatic church and then began seeing problems in it, and they moved to another place in London, right beside Elephant and Castle, and then they began attending the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and that's where they were really grounded in their faith, and then God brought them back to France, and now he heads up our finances. He led the service this morning. Albert preached, but he led the rest of the service. And we're grateful for them and for their son, Matthew. Here are just some other people in our church. Taylor, the second from the left, he just been coming a few months. He knew the Lord in Haiti through the Salvation Army. Came to France and married his wife, whom he met in France. And got involved into what I really think is kind of a cult. It's a group out of Brazil, kind of has a guru leader in Brazil, but they have several branches in France. And just, he began seeing problems, and he didn't know what they were, but he knew it was somehow connected to the Bible. They weren't preaching the Bible. And he saw our building, driving in front. He saw our building and decided to stop one Sunday morning. And walked in. And he's been coming faithfully ever since. And really praying for his wife. She has come for a couple special occasions. And we've talked to her, but she's still in this group. And she even told me one of her fears is whenever she misses, they start calling her. And so we don't know if she understands the gospel yet or not. But the Sunday before we came to the States, so 3 weeks ago, she came to Sunday morning service for the first time. So we were excited about that, if you'll pray for that family. And then here's another lady the Lord just very recently brought to our church. Lives right in Sarcelles. This is interesting history. Her father actually founded Assemblies of God Church years ago, back in the 50s, I think. And she began to see problems, and she was looking for a church that preached the scripture. And so she's become, well, she's not a member, but she's become a real faithful attender in just recent times. And then this is Cynthia. She's been with us for a while. She helps teach Sunday school, originally from Gabon. She just got engaged yesterday, I think, to a Christian man as well from her home country. And we're grateful for her. You'll hear her speak in just a moment. And then these three ladies. On the left is Christy Colas. Christy is a single missionary that serves with us very faithfully. We're very grateful for the help she gives and the contact she brings into our ministry. And there in the middle is Rizont. Rizont was saved under my father's ministry down in Bordeaux and baptized there in the church. And through her work, God brought her up and placed her right near us. And then on the right is Valentina. I mentioned her, that she's the one I shared the gospel with at the Bible exposition. This lady has been coming pretty faithfully, even just since we've been gone. I mean, some before, but since we've been gone, she's continued to come. She is an Iraqi. She is part of the minority, what do they call them, Chaldean Christian minority of Iraq. And she lived through the Iraq War. She has some hair-raising stories to tell of what she experienced. She's been persecuted for her religion. And so her family's kind of just gone all over the world. She has family in Australia and Germany and Denmark and the United States. And she's in Sarcelles along with her parents. And she loves Christianity. I mean, she's willing to die for Christianity. But she doesn't yet know Christ and the gospel. And so Christy's been having some Bible studies with her. And this was just, this was since we came to the States. They just sent us this picture. They met at a restaurant, and the goal is to get her starting to do some Bible studies with Lisante, who's there in the center. She loves the Bible, though. She really loves to discuss and read the Bible. So if you'll pray that the Spirit will just enlighten her understanding and bring her to Christ, it's been neat to minister to her. This talks about a home. Now, a home doesn't make a family, right? The family is a relational institution formed by a covenant. But a family without a home is in a difficult situation. And it's hard to have family life without a home. And it's the same for a church. A building doesn't make a church. You're aware of that, and you've probably experienced some of that but with this COVID. You can't always be here, and yet you're still a body. You're still a church. But you've also probably realized that without a church home, it makes family life difficult, even as a church body. And that's what we discovered. Trying to plan a church while renting a restaurant, a room in a restaurant for 2 hours on a Sunday morning was very, very difficult. Getting people to come in, people hardly ever walked into our services because we were just almost impossible to find. And so having a place now to call our own, having people now that just pop into our services, and it's allowed us to grow actually since we've been in that building, has been such a blessing. And our desire as church planners is to be able to leave the church with a building that is its own. I told people we're not creating dependence. We're actually helping create independence. Because there are some churches I know in France that have been renting for years. I know a church in Paris. They've been renting for 30 years. They have paid enough over the 30 years to buy a building. And yet they were announced that their proprietor wanted to sell their building. And they're left essentially homeless. The church in Bordeaux, where my parents were, is going through that same situation. So to have a place that's purchased, that's bought to call home, allows the church then to build and grow its other ministries, begin paying for its pastor. And so this has been a real desire on our part and something we've really prayed for. And so we're going to show you a video now to give you a little history of what the Lord has done, and it will allow you also to hear from some of our people.
Miles north of the city of Paris, and still within reach of the Eiffel Tower's searchlight, lies the densely populated city of Sarcelles. In the last 50 years, it has radically grown from a large village to a bustling city of nearly 100 different nationalities, as Vincent Dormieux, who grew up in Sarcelles, explains.
I've seen the makeup of the population change from a predominantly white population to a multi-ethnic population. So Sarcelles today is composed mostly of non-culturally Christian people. There has been, from the beginning, a strong French practicing Jews community. There are many people from Maghreb, so with a Muslim background. There are people from the French Caribbean, people from Africa. And more recently, there's been a growing community of Turkish people. So most of these people have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ.
For several years now, a church planting project has been underway with the help of our mother church in nearby Saint-Denis.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Albert Zandry et je suis le pasteur de l'église évangélique baptiste de Saint-Denis. Et donc lorsque la famille Bixby est venue dans notre région pour y implanter une église, nous avons beaucoup partagé sur la meilleure façon de le faire. Et après beaucoup de discussions, il nous a semblé, compte tenu d'un certain nombre de facteurs, que l'essaimage était la meilleure solution. Et c'est ainsi donc qu'un certain nombre de personnes a quitté notre église et pour partir et être à l'église dans cette œuvre d'implantation à l'église de Sarcelles pour aider dans ce travail d'implantation. Alors, bien sûr, de par ce processus d'essaimage, je crois que tout naturellement, des liens sont restés entre les personnes qui composent ces deux assemblées. Et on fait même des efforts pour maintenir aussi ces liens. Donc, voilà, nous avons vraiment de bonnes relations et je remercie le Seigneur pour cela. Et nous sommes reconnaissants au Seigneur pour son œuvre.
Je m'appelle Geneviève Sinan et je suis originaire de la Guadeloupe. J'habitais à Sarcelles depuis 1971 et je me suis convertie en 1987. Quand j'ai su que la famille Bixby voulait fonder une église à Sarcelles, donc je leur ai proposé de venir à la maison. Et c'est ainsi qu'a commencé l'œuvre du Seigneur à Sarcelles.
Finding a building to rent turned out to be a human impossibility. For more than 3 years, we pursued every option we could find. All the possibilities we found were either too expensive or unfit. As for the few that seemed promising, we were either turned down by the owners or zoned out by the city. In the absence of a place to call our own, our church plant began by meeting on Sunday mornings in a small Pakistani restaurant. Our fellow missionary Christy Colas explains what that was like.
Often it would be dirty when we would get there, and because there was no way for us to go early, we could not clean it. And sometimes they would start cleaning the main restaurant area, clearing off the food and drinks from the night before while we were having our service. So Tim would have to shout over the vacuum cleaners. Also, there was no ventilation. There were no windows in the room where we met. And there was not a good place for us to have Sunday school or a nursery.
We're here in Sarcelles, and I'm standing right in front of the Kila restaurant, which is where we met on Sunday mornings for nearly 3 years. During that time, we kept looking for a permanent place to meet, but could find no options. And then a month after our last furlough, when we had asked many churches to pray for us, I was in a discussion with the owner of the restaurant. We were having coffee, and he made a comment about the Ford dealership a quarter of a mile away. And so immediately after that meeting, I drove directly over there. And in God's providence, there happened to be that very morning the owner of the building. And I got to meet him and ask him about the building that above their dealership. And he invited me to come and discuss the possibilities. And then a week before the appointment, I called him and said, look, we'd still love to come, but I have to be honest with you. We don't have the kind of money that you're asking for. And he said, well, you come anyway. And so with a bit of fear and trepidation, Pastor Albert and I went a week later to meet with them and began negotiations for the building.
You can see the hand of the Lord on how the church in Sarcelles found the building.
J'ai été frappé lors des négociations que nous avons eues avec ces personnes par la bonne disposition, la disposition favorable de ces propriétaires à notre égard. Ils étaient conscients de nos faibles moyens, mais en même temps, on avait l'impression qu'ils étaient confiants eux-mêmes dans l'avancée de ce projet et ils nous ont même aidés. Ils ont baissé le prix, ils ont cherché des solutions, ils nous ont proposé une solution qui permettait de faire avancer vraiment le projet.
The owners of that building have always been extremely kind and helpful in the relationship the church has with them, although they're not Christians. They have offered very interesting financial conditions in the form of a 3-year lease, at the end of which the church can buy the building. So the area in which the building is found is densely populated. It's midway between Paris and the Charles de Gaulle Airport. So there's also a potential for economic growth. And so we probably can say that this is also a good financial investment given its location and the quality of the building.
Just when we thought that our home was finally in sight, God had other lessons for us to learn. Negotiations were advancing with a proposed move-in date of February 2018. An arsonist set fire to the building 3 weeks before we were supposed to sign, leaving the shell intact, but rendering it unusable without major reparations. Following months of the owners haggling with the insurance to invest the hundreds of thousands of dollars necessary for the repairs, we finally signed a 3-year rental lease in October of 2018 and held our first service in the building on December 9th, 2018. Then, on New Year's Eve, just 3 weeks later, the arsonist struck again.
Donc c'est un frère de l'église qui nous a appelé et qui nous a tenu au courant des dégâts. Donc mon père et moi, on est partis directement sur les lieux. Et la première chose qu'on a vue, c'est que la porte d'entrée, elle était complètement abîmée, la vitre, elle était cassée. Le plafond, le mur, une partie du sol était recouvert de cendres. On a aussi trouvé un bout de bois d'une longueur de 30 cm, recouvert d'un tissu. Donc on pense que la personne qui a brûlé la salle a utilisé ce bois, l'a trempé dans de l'essence et l'a jeté par la fenêtre.
That second fire only caused us to miss 1 week of services in our building. The largest part of the building was spared major damage. A volunteer American work crew was already scheduled to come outfit the building for us, and the Lord allowed them to accomplish what they had set out to do in spite of the timing of the second fire. By the end of March, the building was entirely usable, though still awaiting some cosmetic repairs by the owner's insurance. Our building was finally completely presentable by the end of August 2019, and we celebrated with an inauguration service in September of last year. That service was attended by about 220 people, including Christian friends from several churches and nearby communities, and even a handful of our city's local political leaders.
Bonsoir à tous. Nous voici ici, implantés en plein milieu de la ville de Sarcelles. La ville de Sarcelles, c'est 60 000 habitants, 19 000 émigrés, 20 000 juifs, au point qu'on appelle Sarcelles la petite Jérusalem. Nous sommes ici au bord de la départementale 316. C'est une départementale, une route où passent plus de 25 000 véhicules par jour. Derrière moi, le centre commercial My Place, Auchan. 80 boutiques. Derrière moi, plutôt sur mon côté, nous avons un énorme cinéma qui est au bout, avec plus de 800 places de parking. On va stocker les véhicules. Et ici, une maison de repos. Et notre salle est juste au-dessus du garage Ford que vous voyez ici. Nous avons tout l'étage, ainsi que cette partie du.
Having our church building just a mile from where I live is a dream come true as a missionary because it is so local for all of the people that I have gotten to know here in my neighborhood. The bank teller, the lady at the grocery store, my neighbors in my apartment complex, they all know where this building is. And some of them have been curious to come and see and have brought their kids to activities we've organized. It is such a blessing to have.
Bon, Joseph, on est ici devant tous les immeubles de Sarcelles. Et je sais que tu as prié pour cette ville, donc raconte-nous un peu.
Et voilà, souvent je fais l'évangélisation à la gare de Sarcelles. Et j'avais des yeux d'avoir une église à la ville de Sarcelles. Et j'ai prié depuis plus de 10 ans. Maintenant, le Seigneur a répondu à la prière.
Bonjour à tous. Je veux remercier Dieu pour tout ce qu'il a fait pour nous. Il nous a fait la grâce d'avoir aujourd'hui une grande église, une salle où on peut vraiment partager la parole de Dieu avec les enfants. Là, le Seigneur nous a bénis tout simplement. Il nous a donné au-delà de tout ce qu'on pouvait imaginer ou espérer.
Je m'appelle Yvonne Casséus. Je suis d'origine haïtienne. J'ai connu l'église baptiste par la femme du pasteur qui m'a rencontrée un jour, Madame Bixby, et qui m'a parlé de l'évangile. Elle m'a posé des questions si j'étais chrétienne. Et donc on a discuté, elle m'a invitée. Et depuis le jour où j'ai visité l'église, l'accueil était vraiment extraordinaire. Depuis ce jour-là, je fais partie de cette église que j'apprécie beaucoup d'être en famille avec eux.
Et puis un jour où je me demandais, mais qu'est-ce que je fais ici à Sarcelles, Seigneur? Qu'est-ce que je fais? Et juste quelques jours après, une amie m'a téléphoné et m'a dit, tu sais, il y a une nouvelle église qui a ouvert à Sarcelles, juste à côté des cinémas. Alors, le dimanche suivant, ben, je suis venue essayer, voir un petit peu ce qui s'y passait. J'ai été très bien accueillie, très chaleureux. Puis j'ai surtout retrouvé une vraie communion fraternelle, un esprit de famille, un enseignement biblique solide et vraiment qui nourrit, qui stimule, un souci d'évangéliser, de se faire connaître, de rayonner là tout autour. Et bien, c'est mon point d'attache.
Merci pour votre amour fraternel. Nous sommes dans la joie de savoir que dans le monde, nous avons des frères et sœurs en Christ qui sont unis dans ce corps de Jésus.
Merci pour vos prières et gloire à Dieu pour son amour.
Amen.
Au revoir.
Thank you. Thank you. Hopefully that gives you a little bit more idea. You can pray with us. It's still a project that is way beyond our means, but we're looking to the Lord for His provision. I want to be brief, but I want to share something from the Lord's Word with you. In Ephesians chapter 2, you probably saw that we're a very multicultural ministry. In our church, there is no majority. Whatever you are one of the minorities in the church. And this creates a very interesting and even exciting at many times context in which to preach, because you can't assume that people know anything. And in thinking about that, what are the singularities of a multicultural ministry? And I thought of Ephesians a couple years ago when we were going to receive a team from America and trying to explain to them a little bit of our heartbeat there. And in Ephesians, the word one comes up 15 times, which is quite a lot for a short letter. And several times it explains the oneness that exists between these two different people groups. It talks about a husband and wife becoming one in chapter 5. But look at chapter 2, verse 14. This is the first three occurrences you'll find, 14, 15, and 16. It says, Ephesians 2, 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both," and there's the word one. And the both, you know, is the biggest division in the history of the world, the biggest division sociologically, racially, religiously, culturally, historically, every which way, because you have the Jew, and then you have those who they called the dogs, who were far from God. And he says, "He himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostilities by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself, here it is again, one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in, we have it a third time now, one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who were near. Those are those two groups. So what is one singularity in a multicultural ministry? It is that we have a singular identity. We have become one new body. And what Paul emphasizes here, and the Holy Spirit emphasizes through Paul, is that this body is distinct. It's different than what they knew before. It's different than what the pagans knew. That part's easy to understand, but it's also different than what the Jews knew before Christ. And so in celebrating their oneness, they're celebrating their distinctiveness from their birth cultures. They're celebrating the distinctiveness from everything that came before. Their citizenship is in heaven. And I really believe that this is what promotes unity within the church. It's not as we try to identify with all the different cultures that are there, but as all the different cultures begin to magnify what makes us distinct as the body of Christ. What draws us together is what makes us different from the world around us, is that we are something new in Jesus Christ. And it's new for all of us. And so we use French. French is our only language because that's the language that we all share in common. Although for many of our people, it's not their first language. You should come to our fellowship meals. You get to eat food from all over the world. It's delicious. Ladies will come dressed in saris, African ladies in their colorful African garb, and the French ladies, you look at us, we look very, very different. But what we celebrate together as a church is what makes us distinct from every single one of our different cultures. The body is harmonious. Notice that emphasis on peace. Like back in verse 15, he might create in himself one new body in place of two, so making peace. Look down in verse 16. Might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. And now it says it the opposite way. Killing the hostility. That's the negative way of saying making peace. It's repeating the same idea. And then in verse 7, and he came and preached peace to you. And how does the peace come? The peace comes through reconciliation with God. It's first reconciliation to God and then reconciliation to each other. And we live in a world, and we see it here in America even now, where we're trying to make peace on this horizontal level while still being able to remain in enmity with God. And the Christian church comes and says, that'll never work. That'll never work. Peace is possible. We can show you it. We can show you examples of harmonious peace between people from all over and tribes and tongues and nations in the world. But the reason the world will always reject the Bible's plan of peace, if you want to call it that, is because it demands that first of all, we be reconciled to God. We're ambassadors in this world, and our message is, be reconciled to God. Until you humbly come to God in submission, in repentance, and in faith, then you cannot have the peace with your brethren that the gospel portrays. It's a fruit of our peace with God. And the order, if I were to start back in verse 1 of chapter 2, is very clear that this begins with God and then reaches out to our brethren. And so our main message is to come to Christ, to repent, to believe the gospel. And that's what gives us harmony as a body. So harmony with God, vertical, harmony with others, horizontal. And then a body that works together. Because it's no longer two bodies, he says you're actually one body. And you know that, you've probably heard this illustration, that 100 marbles in a box might be uniformity, but it's not unity. To have unity, you actually need these differences. that then work together and coalesce in to form a body. So a singular identity, and then the second thing that's singular about a Christian gospel-centered ministry is their affinity. The word affinity speaks of relationships. It can even speak of marriage or sympathy marked by the common interest. We have an affinity for something. But in science, it refers to an attractive force between substances that causes them to enter into and remain in combination. I like that term, an attractive force that causes different substances, can't get that word out right, but you know what I'm saying, to enter into and remain in a combination. We have an affinity, we have an active force that is driving us together. And what is that? Well, look at verse 18, Ephesians 2:18. You have the next occurrence of the word one. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. There you have the Trinity, right in that verse. The Father, the Son, him, and the Holy Spirit. And then if I just read the first verses of Ephesians 4, would you mind looking at that? Because here this one comes back as like a chorus, almost like a drum beat. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And look at verse 4. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you are also called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. See how that just comes back? That's the strength. That's the force that drives us together. Normally when you start spinning something, things tend to, what, separate. But this is a force that actually draws us in. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope as we look towards the future. These are the things that we share in common. And all of these are distinct from what the world has. But when you share that in common with another person, you can't help but experiencing unity. This becomes your true family, the family of God. And it's something that we have just delighted to see the Lord do in our midst, and I'm sure you have as well. And I'll just mention a third thing, and that is singular abilities. And I place that in the plural because if you look at verse 7, Ephesians 4, 7, but grace has been given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And there the one is used actually as each one singular. God has gifted each person differently. And it's our differences that contribute to our unity. And you know that from 1 Corinthians 12, right? If we were all a ear, for example, where would the body be? If we were all the same ability, there would be no unity. There would be no body. It's the fact that each person is different and has been gifted slightly differently by the Lord that allows and creates this unity. So when you serve the Lord by serving your local church, you are contributing to the unity. When you pull back and begin just living for yourselves, you're contributing to the disunity because the body needs the activity of each member. It'll go on and say that it helps us to grow up into the head as each member works with the strength that Christ gives us. We need each member functioning actively to help create the unity. So that's my encouragement as I see what God is doing in my setting, which is somewhat unique to see so many different cultures and countries and languages come together, and yet to see the gospel is a real life, active, present force to create and maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So be encouraged in spite of COVID. Christ is still building his church. Thank you for your time, and we'll be happy to stay around and answer any questions we can afterwards. Pastor.